Start again. Yes. Thank you very much. Right. So our session on working with personal and motivational formulae. But yes, we can have discussions, we can discuss our own things, and we can discuss what we might or might not say to clients. And I had this week, only a few days ago, an extraordinary email that blew me away by the request that has been made upon me. So I'm going to read you the email because I think, and actually, as if it gets too complicated, then will you please put your hand up and I'll send it to you if you would rather. But of course, I shouldn't because of confidentiality. But I could copy it and put it in a document if you wanted. But we will discuss it and stop and start as we go, or I'll read it through to you and then we will think, right, what are we going to do with this? So that might be a place to start. I don't know. Or shall we start first of all with what do we do? Just fairly briefly. For example, Bev, do you have a personal formula that you're working with?
Not at present, no.
At present, no. Have you recently in or in the past?
Yes, I have, definitely.
Yeah. And found it
Yeah,
in.
really helpful. I think it's quite profound.
Yeah. Lovely. And as long as we get the wording right, then yes, it
Yeah,
will be, it can be profound.
Yeah,
Yes.
so I've had the experience of my inner critic or my mind kind of rejecting whatever I've started to use and picking it apart. So I know what that feels like. Yes, and outside of the AT, I'll come up with what I think is a really great formula, but then in the practice of it, I might encounter that dynamic, which is very interesting to see that happening. But when kind of I'm on the money, so to speak, and it's really the right thing, it kind of, what's the word? It sounds itself. It can take me to a place where I'm so convinced that it's going to happen that there's no need to even say it. I think it can create a level of self-belief. I think that's where my description of the word profound comes in, because yeah, there's something really powerful and yet so simplistic about it that the repetition of it can generate something that's almost beyond words in explaining. Yeah, that's my.
Fascinating, and it feeds in beautifully to what I'm going to read to you in a minute. So that's yes, that really, really interesting and simple. That's the main thing, isn't it? And what you're describing also, that it's not just created in your head, or that might be where it started, but then the processing has gone where it needs to go so that you gain something more out of it. Yeah. Thank you. Pia, are you using one, or have you in the past, or
I use affirmations most of the
the
time.
time? Okay. Yes.
At the moment, I actually talked to Anne. She was because I said to her, "I'm actually not all that well. My energy is really low." And she says, "Why don't we do a formula for you?" And she came up with and it just resonated with my body. When a formula is right, my body knows. It's like it clicks in, and there's no doubt what it is, and it's I am I'm reclaiming my strength and my vitality. So that's what I'm using at the moment. But affirmations has been with me for many, and sometimes, you know, there might go a couple of months where I don't need any. But I can tell you that I lost 40 kilos saying I am kind to myself and overeating is giving me up. That was my for many months, and the weight went. So that was what, but that's a long time ago. But anyway, that was what I used. I love the formulas. I love them. Love them. Love them.
Right. Thank you so much for that. What about you, Donna?
I'm not using one at the moment. Sometimes I'll just put in something like all is well because my life is a bit frazzled at the moment. So I just need to know. But sometimes I am at peace just just does the trick. Because I haven't had the time to sit and make and make one.
Yes.
But I have used them very successfully, I think. Going through surgeries, recovering, I think it helped. Well, I don't know, because I don't know how surgery would have been without them. But it definitely helped my mental state of preparing for and hopefully recovering afterwards.
Yeah.
But yeah, a bit like Pia, you know, I know when it's right. And if it isn't right, my brain won't either. I'll come out of it and go, oh, I forgot to do it again.
Yes.
or it will, I'll change the words in the moment. And I'll come out and think, oh, yeah, that's better. That's lots better. That's what I need. So it makes itself.
It makes itself. There we go.
Yeah.
Yes.
Funny you say that, Donna, because what came up for me when I learned about my parents, you know, that was the missing link in all my self-inquiry for many, many years, you know. I mean, it's only 10 years ago I found out that I had, you know, narcissistic parents. And the one that came up all the time, and it was actually my body, I don't know what got it, and it was, I am kind to myself.
Yes.
I am kind to myself. I am kind, because I was such a people pleaser. So, you know, I always forgot myself and I wasn't kind to myself, you know, because, and that stayed with me. I can't tell you for how long, long, long time. And I'm still, sometimes it just comes in and it just pops in in the end. And I know, okay.
Mm.
And I just accept that.
Isn't it lovely? So these can really kind of take care of ourselves, can't they? And I know of certainly one person who picked up on a personal formula, and that person happens to be a friend of mine, and it's still being used 30 odd years later. So, and it's just, I can't remember what it was now, something about, it had a Buddhist flavour to it. And I can't remember what it was, but it was something about everything is what I need, or no, I know, it was taking what I need. So that's it. It was a lovely, lovely philosophy, really. Whatever situation they found themselves in, whatever was going on around them, and it might not always be very pleasant, but it was really sort of, from this, I'm taking what I need. And I well, I suppose because I related to it myself, I think that was a lovely formula. But that's still being used, apparently. Okay.
Beautiful.
I'm going to go to another extreme. Would you like to hear this email?
Oh, yes.
You'd better say yes, otherwise I'm going to be a bit stuck. Now, you might want to scribble something on the way, you know, about what could that be? Now, this is a client who learned AT with me in a group. I think it was a Zoom group during lockdown. So I never met her in person. And she worked with it, it was probably, I can't even remember now, about 18 months ago, something like that. So quite a bit of time has gone by. And she has said, hi, I hope you're well. Apologies in advance for the long email, so stand back. I was hoping if I provided plenty of information to work with, you might be able to advise me on tweaking my autogenic routine. And then she does her AT every night, unless she hits the pillow. I use autogenics during the day for pain flares when they're bad enough to make me feel agitated, when faced with particularly high household stress, and as an adjunct to pain management when taking transport to an appointment, which involves being on a stretcher in an ambulance. Sometimes I use autogenics to cope with pain flares that have me stuck resting instead of mobilizing. However, I admit I'm guilty of it not regularly occurring to me to use the script during these times. I think when she uses the term script, she means the autogenic, the script, the full exercise. I should probably associate autogenics with an external cue, such as whenever I'm thinking of reaching for pain kit tools, such as medication, heat pad, bath, etc. I'm going to stop there. Is this possible for you to sort of grasp the tone of what she's writing about? And what's your comment so far?
That it's somebody who is experiencing quite a lot of pain.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And is thinking about how they can adapt their use of AT to use instead of other remedies or medication.
Absolutely. Is there anything in the tone of what she's writing that strikes you as being inappropriate? In fact, that's quite a direct... For what you've described.
She might be trying too hard.
Yeah, absolutely, she's trying too hard. And actually, in trying too hard, she's completely missing the point of a personal formula, which is just something to use on a daily basis. And she's setting conditions. In fact, never mind the personal formula, she's using autogenic training in the wrong way. It's fundamentally wrong. She's setting the conditions for when she decides she will practice. And my immediate question in reading this was, why aren't you doing it every day and three times a day? What's the matter? So
also what came to me was she wants to be fixed. Her.
Yeah, and I've got to fix her. Yes, that's the other thing. Yes. Yeah. Okay, so all right, I will continue. Donna, have you got any?
No, I think they've said what I was thinking.
Said what you were thinking. Good. Then she wants an alternative to heavy and warm because it's uncomfortably hot weather. Okay. So, I mean, I have replied to this email minimally. And to that, I just said, well, warm doesn't have to mean hot. And if it's uncomfortable, then just leave it out. So that was a simple one to answer. The rest wasn't so simple. I'm also looking for any target cues to address muscle spasms, particularly iliacus, piriformis and quadratus lumborum, to complement graded muscle release being performed monthly by the osteopath. What the hell is all that about? Pain varies between these muscles, so sometimes it's one, another or a random combination. Usually, iliacus and piriformis are the worst and most frequent offenders. What am I supposed to do with that? Okay, she goes on. Lastly, she says, but we've still got quite a bit more of the email. Lastly, I'm looking for a separate cue for sacroiliac nerve pain occurring at location of sacroiliac joint, genitals and rectum, and to a lesser extent, the legs. What does it mean? The sacroiliac joint hurts like whacking the elbow on the funny bone with a hammer. So I don't know what she wants me to do with all of this. Nerve pain can feel like electrical shocks, patches of the aforementioned funny bone, vibrating or icy hot. And she goes on to describe that icy hot is an American over-the-counter medication, which some people have used, and men have worn it in a jock strap for a stunt and then ended up vomiting from the pain. Why is she telling me all this? I mean, it's actually, I think there's something wrong psychologically, and I'm not sure how to address it via email. But anyway, we'll leave that aside for the moment. And so muscle and nerve pain could occur separately or simultaneously. I'm not sure if cues designed to target those, and I think she's meaning a personal formula, cues designed to target those should be used every time or be used only as the issues arise. So you know, she's just missing the whole point. It's actually very sad, and I have replied, but I just thought it was such a useful thing to look at today. Very unusual, I hasten to add. I don't seem to resonate with cool forehead. It doesn't do anything. Okay, it doesn't matter.
What is it supposed to do?
Well, exactly. She says the cool cue doesn't seem to change any sensation of muscle or nerve pain. I think I gave her the idea of a sprained ankle. We would put a cold compress on so you could put for a sprain cool ankle or something into your, just a simple thing like that. So she might be connecting that with this. I've had mixed success trying the heavy and warm cue for muscle and nerve pain. However, I find after closing during the day or after waking up in the morning following a nighttime script with those cues, I feel residual heaviness I carry with me in my lower back and lower body when I try to mobilize. I don't know whether that's a complaint or whether it's a nice discovery. It's all a bit strange. In fact, I'm beginning to think in reading this out loud that I should have done this in our last session, because I think maybe there is a psychological condition here. I mean, we're laughing at this bizarreness, but of course there's a person behind it. And then she goes on, when I get SI joints, what would that be? Joint injections. SI, so I don't know. A procedure done with local anaesthetic while I'm awake. There have been challenges in the past. I get jumpy at the needle insertion. Okay, I won't read all of this now. The doctor tried placing the needle without telling me, which was not really helpful. Last time I started going there on the surgical table, although it didn't change the pain level of the procedure, I was able to calm the jump reflex to the point of eliminating it. Very helpful indeed. So, yeah, she's using a bit of AT when she needs to. But that's what the whole point of this. She's setting a condition. Oh, when that happens, I'll do that. And when that happens, I'll do this. And but there's nothing which is embedding in here and actually giving her a chance. But she goes on, overall, AT has by far been the most useful mind training and hands-off treatment I've ever received. For me, it's more potent than progressive relaxation, meditation, mindfulness, visualization, or any other mind activities. So she's full on with appreciating AT, which is really interesting. I use the other techniques. However, AT is certainly something special. So thank you for sharing it with me and others. Now, in my reply, I did say, actually, that was a helpful paragraph for me to read, because I don't think you're doing autogenic training correctly. And if you're muddling it up as well by constantly going into progressive relaxation or meditation, if not very often, I think there's quite a lot of confusion going on. That was an easy one for me to address. I think if you're going to do AT, stick with that. So that was that bit. And then she ends up having some vague understanding of how powerful cues can be and the importance of feeding the brain with ideal stroke, carefully considered cues to maximize autogenic benefits. I would be grateful for your thoughts to address aforementioned muscle pain, nerve pain, and coping with this silly, pervasive summer heat.
Wow. I am wondering if she's meaning by cues the statements.
Yes, she is.
Targeted statements rather than my arms and legs are heavy and warm.
Yep.
My whatever joint is.
Yes.
Something.
My sacroiliac joint has no nerve pain or something.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, it's nonsense. I mean, you know, how to address this. I took a day just to let it absorb and see how I was going to reply. And I did say, thank you for all this detail. But actually, I think it's more something like, I should look at my reply, shouldn't I, and tell you what I wrote. But in the end, I know, all this detail, which implies that I'm going to come up with the answers. And I'm a bit disappointed that you're feeling that way, because actually it's your situation. And only you know what that pain is like. I don't know. I can't do much for you with this. I wrote about setting the conditions and her general practice of AT. Actually, it shouldn't be you only do it at certain times. She's looking for the bad times to do it, which is not helpful. There's an awful lot of judgmental muddle in there.
You know, when you read the email, Jane, what I was feeling was grief.
Yes.
Grief.
Yes.
For her condition. Yeah, yeah. Just, you know, yeah. Sadness that in there is some part of her is so desperate for relief.
It is desperate.
She's
it
gone
is
to the trouble to write in that level of detail. I feel really quite sad, you know, that she's wanting something to help alleviate her suffering.
Yes. Oh, of course she is.
You can come up with the answer.
No, but, well, I certainly can't when I don't understand half of the questions, because, I mean, I don't understand what these words mean. I can look them all up, of course, but how am I going to come up with anything? I have, of course, suggested the offloading. You know, I've said, of course, I appreciate there's an awful lot going on for you here, but let's get some basics really clear. If you're really going to use autogenic training, use it 3 times a day. And it doesn't matter what condition you're in or what the activities are or what is annoying you. If things are annoying you, do the offloading and so on. So I've given her practical things. And then my universal question to anybody trying to find a personal formula is, how will you feel when all of these things have gone away? What would that be like? And then it's up to her to find something. And I did put in an example. I am tall and free, I said. For example, that might not be the words you want to use, but let's pare it down to something that is so simple the brain doesn't have to do any work on it. It really doesn't. And that might be impossible for her to take on board, because you're quite right, Bev, she is stuck in something. I think I'll offer her, she was actually a hospital patient, so I think I might just offer her a couple of free Zoom sessions and just see what's going on. I haven't heard back from her. My email was relatively short compared to hers. I didn't address all that detail. But it's a very good lesson for us in how to think about it all wrong. She hasn't even realised that one phrase needs to embed for 3 or 4 weeks. I say she hasn't even realised it. Maybe she's lost all her notes, and it was at least a year ago that we finished doing this.
I think it's interesting as well, as based on what I shared earlier, we can never assume we know how a client has fully responded to the training. And when they take that practice home, we might think we've done, you know, an outstanding job at communicating the process really well. But unless we get inside their mind and witness every practice, we might never know.
No.
And we won't know particularly how their practice is going to develop over time.
Yeah. No, exactly. And it is the desperation which is taking her into all those other places. Oh, I'll do a bit of this, or perhaps that will help, or if I do that, you know. I mean, I did make the point that autogenic training is mindful, and you've got relaxation already present very, very fast in autogenics. You don't need to do the progressive muscular relaxation. That becomes irrelevant.
Yeah.
So I've said all those things. I haven't heard from her. I am going to write back again. I think I put in somewhere. It could be that as you read this, you start to feel quite angry or disappointed or something else. So I'd like you to put me in the empty chair and do an offloading exercise. Mm-hmm. And I do suggest that sometimes in groups. And they all say, oh, no, we couldn't do that. I said, well, yes, you could. Because if I've said something that's annoyed you and you're carrying that anger home, then you should let it out. It doesn't matter that it's about me. I won't know.
Yeah, wow. What an email. Far out.
Yeah.
Very manipulating as well. Manipulating.
Ah.
As well.
Oh, that's interesting. What are you spotting there then, Pia? That she, well, oh, yes, clearly she wants my help. I mean, yes, okay, but that's not what you're saying. Manipulating is what?
Well, it's the way that that she names the things. I would like this and that. So right. She's actually the whole. She blames her condition, and she put blames up. This is a big warning sign, and you are to fix her. So there is no self responsibility at all, and that's a big warning sign for me.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, interesting.
So it's the first time I've had such, I've had curious emails before now, because I always say, do email if you've got any problems. And sometimes people say, I'm thinking of a personal formula. And then, so what about this? And then she writes, or he, or whoever it is, writes about two lines of lots of words with the word and between each one. And that's another form of desperation. It's, Am I, I don't want to miss that. Well, I better put that in, and we'll put it. And so then my answer to that one is, how would you sum these up? How could you sum it all up in just one word? I am. And then it's up to them. Then they're taking responsibility for it.
That's a good one, yeah.
But I also, or two words, maybe you could allow them two words, because it's probably quite tricky. And I don't often hear back, I have to say.
Fascinating. Wow.
I think what blew me apart, really, were all these technical terms. I think she probably wants to hear me say, I have no idea what you're talking about, which I have said. So then she can write me off, if that's her message.
I don't hear it like that.
I don't.
Hear her as wanting to give you as much information possibly can.
Well, she did write. Yes.
Specific as possible.
Yeah.
She's desperate. That's what I hear. Isn't it interesting that we can all pick up like different things? You know, and I wonder in this what projections or transference might be going on. You know, we just don't know. But yeah.
Oh, well, I recognize for myself it was anger. And it's her anger, of course, which is, you know, that's her sense of herself. This body that isn't functioning properly, and certainly the desperation. And it's a great, and of course, our lesson is somebody has got this so wrong. So where have I gone wrong is another thing. So I didn't want to write too much, because that keeps on saying how wrong she is. So I ignored some of the questions, and then I just sort of summed up other ones which were much more pertinent. So how would you feel if?
I think as well, there's something about self-awareness, isn't there, that, you know, to maybe be able to write that email without sending it, and to read it with enough self-awareness to think about how it's going to land in your inbox, and how it's going to impact you, and what it's going to lead to in that dynamic in exchange. And that, I think that's what you were talking about, the manipulative side. I think often people, especially if they are desperate, and I don't know if she felt that way, but if she is, she's lost in the desperation that she's not thinking, you know, about how it's affecting you. And sometimes that's perhaps the narcissistic self-survival mode inside us all, isn't it? That's like, I heard, I need fixing. You can potentially help me. I'm going to give you all this stuff, and then you're going to come back with some wonderful remedy.
Magic wand.
Yeah. Yeah.
And my red flag is that she doesn't do the method.
Yes, absolutely.
She doesn't do it.
No.
And that's
no.
Yeah. Anyway.
No. I mean, that's absolutely right. Yes, it is.
It would be very different if she said, I am doing this 3 times a day. I'm very vigilant. I do the exercise 3 times. I do what I've learned, and still blah, blah, blah. It would be very different in your comeback with that. But she's not doing it.
No. Or she's only doing it in certain circumstances.
Which
is the point entirely.
She wants to. Yeah.
Well, either when she wants to, but she's also picking bad times to do it. She's thinking, so there's no, yeah. So I don't know how relevant this is for our conversation now, but, or maybe it is.
I think she's right. Yeah.
My sense about the affirmations is actually less is more. Always. I've just said all those words and. No. How will you sum it up? What will that really be? And you might not be able to find the word that fits it all, but find something which gets near it, and then leave the mind body to do the rest.
What about if there are multiple things that a client wants to work on, about you know, picking out, say, the most important or the few that are related that can be, you know, dealt with a very simplistic formula, you know, and then doing that for a period of time and seeing what transpires and then revisiting others. I think, if I remember rightly, when I was taught, it was about, and when I read the notes, focusing on something easy to start with and not picking the thing, you know, that has the most meaning and the thing you're desperate for, you know, I want to weigh 20 kilos by next week, you know, let's leave the biggies and increase the self-belief with the smaller things.
Absolutely.
The smaller changes.
Yes, and picking up something that has already occurred as a result of doing autogenic training. That's also a very good place to start because you know it's already worked. So we're almost tricking the brain to wish for something that is already there. And so that gives some confidence as well.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds, and I don't know, that sounds, would I do that? If I already had something, I guess I'd be wondering why I would do an affirmation to get or to change what's already changed.
No, it wouldn't be to change it necessarily. It's just a little bit of a trick on the brain that somebody said years ago, you know. I remember teaching a student, and we did it in two sections because he was away at university. So we did 4 weeks while he was home. Then he went off to his term and then he came back and we finished off the course. So it was warmth, up to warmth, and then the rest. But when we got to warmth, I had given him all the offloading exercises because he was going away and I wasn't going to have the chance. I felt that if we're going to do any, we should do them. So we did all of that. And then he said, I've got exams coming up. Oh, yes, I know what it was. He was reporting that he was working much more steadily, that he wasn't sort of, you know, displacement activity that we all get, don't we? And we're doing, he's supposed to be studying, and he's supposed to be getting this assignment done. And no, he wasn't. He was sharpening his pencils and having another cup of coffee and walking around or whatever else. And he said that had gone. And once he sat down to work, he was much more focused and he was really pleased. He was really quite convinced that that was from AT. So, and then, of course, he'd got his exams coming up when he was back at university. So I said, well, look, I think we should send you away with a personal formula. You haven't finished the course. That doesn't matter. Let's come with it. Now, what about this? My willingness to work is wonderful. And he had a lovely grin on his face because it was what he had already discovered. But it was also affirming what he had already discovered. So that was fine. It was so that's another way in that he could do it. And we chose alliterative words, or I think I chose them, but really it's up to him. I did say, if that's not right, you must tweak it. But so willingness and work and wonderful, of course, he was already doing it. So there are ways that sets of circumstances kind of help us to help that person in that particular moment. Oh, he ended up with a 2-1 degree and he hadn't been predicted that. He was predicted a 2-2. So there we go. So that's something about the affirmations. Donna, have you got any?
Yeah, I always like the word allow. Because if you can't believe that you're,
that your willingness to work is wonderful.
Yeah, if I can't believe that because this is what I want, but I just don't believe it. Yeah. I'm so stuck here. That would be great, but it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
We can allow it.
Yes.
So,
yes, lovely.
So it's like a bridge.
Yeah.
So I'm like, how could you allow it if it was to happen? Oh, yeah, I'd love it to happen. Yeah. It's not, and I'm not.
Yeah.
So we can allow it. Yeah. So then we put in, I allow my willingness to work to be wonderful.
Yeah.
Donna,
I think that is brilliant. You're a genius.
Yes.
I reckon. That is so good. That's really good.
That's my favourite because you do get I'll say it, but no.
Yes.
And they're resisting. You've got that resistance.
You've got the resistance
already.
In there. Yeah.
So, yeah, I do like allow.
I love it. I love it. Genius.
And of course, I mean, that is absolutely brilliant for the doubting Thomas, who is going to sabotage it and resist it straight away. So it is absolutely superb. And I will speak personally that I much prefer I am, because it's very much in the present moment, and that is what we are doing. But of course, so is allow in the present moment as well. Yeah. So, you know, I'm not arguing with it at all, actually. But I like the affirmation of I am. I am. Yeah, I am. Personally, I mean this.
Yeah,
I mean
personally,
it.
I like
you that.
I'm so with you with that, really.
Yeah.
I have the strength of I am, and I can believe it. But for those that are in so much pain or so unhealthy or what have you, to say I'm healthy, that I don't be stupid, I'm sitting here in a wheelchair, I can't breathe, I can't, you know.
Exactly.
So could you allow health? Oh yeah, I'd allow it. Yeah, bring that on. But whereas I am is no, I'm not. So it's just a different...
Or no, I can't be, which is also a very yes.
So
if that is where they are, then it is not the right one. You're absolutely yes there.
This is so smart, because we all have an inner critic.
Mm-hmm.
Like you were talking about, Bev, you know, with that, that's not... I actually sent a book that's called The Inner Critic. It's one of my teachers.
I saw it. Yeah.
It's a brilliant book. It's so good. So allowing will bypass the inner critic.
Yes, it would, wouldn't it? Yes.
And what's happened as we've been talking and you shared that, Donna, into my head popped my new affirmation, I think, which is I allow my life to flourish. So thanks for that. And so I'm going to just put that in there.
I'm getting goosebumps. Look at this. I'm getting goosebumps.
May I put a comment in there that we like alliteration, but you've taken it to another level with different words with L's and F's in. I allow my life to flourish. I think that will really please the brain with that very creative style. It's not alliteration, of course, but that choice of words.
Yeah, and it was not consciously thought of. You know, it appeared in my mind.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And I think why it will work for me, because, you know, I think the more that I'm doing psychological work in my training, the more I'm seeing more of myself and actually seeing where I self-sabotage, you know, and actually I might want something, but another part of me is resistant to it, unconscious. And actually this phrase covers all of those eventualities within me. It's like a cover-all. Thanks for that, Donna. Yeah, check in the post, dear.
Yes.
Genius. I love it.
And it's the ones that pop into our heads are always the right ones.
Yeah.
And I always say, you know, don't try and be clever. Don't try and include everything. We can't do that. All we can do is give ourselves something that makes us smile.
Yeah.
And if you found something that makes you smile, you've got it right. That's the... And if you haven't, you'll probably be doubtful. And that's when we... Yeah. And the other thing I wrote to this woman was actually the personal formula. Well, in fact, all of autogenics really shouldn't be making the brain work too hard. It really shouldn't. And the personal formula in particular, it's like putting something in a baby's brain. And the baby doesn't understand what yes and no means yet. They only understand what yes is. They're very positive and they will always go and explore. But we have to teach them no, and no, that will hurt, and no, this and that. So actually, it's the baby's brain that is the most help to us, because as long as we've got, I'm going to say, the right words, but you'll feel them right. And when we've got them, then the brain will work on it. And of course, it's positive because the baby only knows yes. And it doesn't know, well, we won't go to the sacroiliac joint and we can't do I don't want to do the pain. That's only on Thursdays. I'm going to do something else. I mean, you know, all of that silly dialogue, which could go on in there, is wiped out because the baby can't do that. So I very simplistically suggest that the altered state is actually the baby's brain. It doesn't want too much work to do. I don't know if that makes sense.
No, yeah, it does, absolutely. Yeah, short and simple.
The natural state, the neutral state, isn't it?
I mean, absolutely, the neutral state. Yes, yes, you're quite right there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And therefore, less is more.
Yes.
And if less is powerful, then it's more still more powerful. But if we feel it as a strength and an allowing, then yeah. Okay. And of course, we are all beyond our own autogenic training, and you're going to be teaching these to, perhaps in the final, you will, in the final session of your autogenic course. And they may well not be ready for it. And actually, frankly, I hardly ever use these. But when I do, it's because I really need something, and it's then I find it and I'm there. But on the whole, as you were saying, Donna, I'm at peace. Mostly that says it all for me. And the other caveat is, of course, to recognise when we need to do offloading. And there was a salutary tale. I might have told you this one before. Someone had learned, a friend of mine, had learned autogenics with somebody else some years before. And she asked if I could help with the personal formula, because she was, so we arranged a time to meet. And she told me what she was using, which was, I can release my anger.
Oh.
And it was positive, of course. It was a positive statement. It didn't have a negative in there. So I guessed. I didn't react quite like you did, but I asked her what was happening. Why was she unhappy with it? And she said, well, I'm snappy all the time, and I might be in the supermarket, and I'm just impatient, and I just want to, and I haven't got time to talk to people, and I'm just being snappy and irritable, and it's not nice. And so I knew her well, and I smiled, and I said, your formula's working beautifully. It's working really well. And she didn't quite understand. And I said, well, you've said I can release my anger, and here you are popping it out at every moment of opportunity. It's working. And she roared with laughter. And then once we'd settled down, I said, right, now, so what did you really want your formula to mean? And she thought a bit, and she said, well, I want to be free of my anger. I've been just been carrying this load around with me for so many years, and I want to be free of it. And I said, isn't it interesting that you didn't use those words? You could have said, I'm free of my anger, and see what happens. However, you said, I can release it, thinking that perhaps release is the right way, but actually your body and mind did other work on it. However, I can't remember what phrase she came up with, because the next thing I said, I think you need a phrase without the word anger in it. It is simply boiling things up in there, in your altered, positive, neutral, peaceful state. You're putting the word anger in there. That might not be useful. So how will you feel when you are free of your anger? And that's what I can't remember what her reply was. It didn't matter. She came up with something. And that was fine. And I reminded her of the offloading. And very often people put a formula in about their emotional state, and it just might not do anything at all. Just move around in circles. What do you think, Donna? Is that resonating?
I was thinking of, people use the word pain a lot, free from pain. And again, because I came to AT with pain, and I don't want pain anywhere near this lovely state. Yes. No way, get out. So I would choose something like healthy. And again, whatever it is, flip it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What is another word for pain-free?
Yes, exactly.
Comfortable is a nice one. Because again, people can't believe that they wouldn't ever hurt, but you can be comfortable. You can be comfortable in pain, actually. So comfortable is another word.
Yes.
When I've worked with pain people. But yes, yeah, I don't want any negative associative words. In,
associative, you're quite right. Yes.
In my practice.
Yeah. And that's why the question is always useful. How will you feel when you are pain-free? Rather than saying, I am pain-free, which is just words, what will it feel like? Mm-hmm. And that's actually Schultz's way of going around, that rather than face the problem head on, I'm going to deal with this. Actually, let's go around the corner and let's go around the back. And let's, oops, I'm not going to go around the back, am I? let's find the other way. And that's, of course, where these other words come in.
Yeah.
And it also gives us a bit of belief. Actually, yes, I can do that. I can do that.
Yeah, that's the key for me. I think I need to make sure people believe what they're saying.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, forget it. They'll just be in this conflict, in there, like we discussed earlier.
Yeah. Yes, a bit like, what were we talking about yesterday? There was some word that we were talking about yesterday. I can't remember anymore. Doesn't matter.
Here, I'm mindful you've got a question. Can I ask one after you?
Well, it's just to add on to this. My sister's husband worked as one of the directors with the Olympics, what's it called? Paralympians, and has done that for many things. And they do a lot of mind training.
Yes, of course. And
it's so fascinating what you say about, Donna, this thing about not to say pain in the affirmation. They are so big on not having the word that they don't want in their affirmation.
Yes.
It, and he says it's amazing what they do when they take it out and flip it, like you were saying.
Yeah.
This is fascinating. I just got to say that I've just heard from, what's his name?
Sebastian.
Oh, yeah, just heard. Yeah, and he says that his dad is in, what was it? Yeah. So I just, it just got in here now. I'll just see what it says. I'll just get it. So I just said, we're thinking of you, we miss you in class. And he says, thank you, Pia. My father is in ITU.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, so that's not good. So I just said, we miss you and hope you'll come back to class. So,
yeah.
Anyway, we'll just say a little prayer for him. And prayers, huh? Sad. Yeah. Anyway, yes. I just thought...
No, thank you for sharing that. That's important. That's really good to know.
Yeah.
Yes. And thank you for writing to him, because I have written, of course, with and said to come back when you're ready and so on. But that's lovely of you to do that. Yes.
Well, we have a little group, you know, the three of us.
So. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. I think he's just replied to you, though, because it's not in our group.
Oh, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's not either.
No.
So what I said here, we miss you here in class, and Donna is recording it all for you.
Oh,
perfect.
Yes.
Thank you.
Anyway. Yeah.
So, Bev, you had a question.
Yes, I wondered whether you were going to do this anyway, but is there any chance you or Donna can run through how you introduce the affirmation or the personal formula to a client? Yeah. I'd love just to kind of, in the teaching aspect of it, just to pick up some helpful hints.
Yes. I mean, I hope we covered it. No, we might not have covered it, actually, in the authentic group bit. We might not have done. Okay, I can understand that. Do you want to do this, Donna? How do you want to do it?
I don't mind. I'm just trying to think how I do it.
Yeah.
I think... where are we? So we've done everything, haven't we, really? So I'd give them, we're here, run through everything. That's your complete autogenic package. And I think I introduce it by saying, this is where we can make it yours. We can personalize it and make it really yours, specific to each one of you. I'll ask, have you all heard of affirmations? Because that is what it is. Some people say yes. Or most people will say yes. You get the odd one that are a bit unsure, so we have a bit of discussion what an affirmation is. I obviously tell them the rules, if you like, that it has to be short and simple in the positive. I give them the paperwork so yes. they sort of see it as well, so they can run through the rules of, you know, what they are, what type we can have. I would ask if anybody had found themselves when they're doing their AT, whether they've been in this kind of funny state that you haven't quite been asleep. You've kind of drifted, and I'll explain the neutral states. And you'll get half of them going, oh, yeah, yeah, that I wasn't asleep. It was this, that, and the other. Others are like blank because they haven't experienced it, and that's fine. So I make sure everyone's okay with that. It might happen, you know, in the next few weeks. It might never happen. Whatever happens is okay. That's fine. If you do experience it and you've drifted off and you come back and you're thinking, oh, arms and legs, heartbeat, where was I? I can't remember where I sort of drifted. That's an ideal time to drop the formula in. And you can repeat that a few more times and then close, or run through it again and close. It depended on time, how you feel. You'll know. Usually when you've come back from that, you need a little bit and then you'll close. So I would explain that. Sometimes there's somebody that will say, oh, yeah, I'd love to be pain-free. So I'd say, you know, I'd love to be I am pain-free or something. And I'd use that as the example for, I'd take the pain out of that. So I'd go through a few examples, because by now people are usually looking around going, oh, yeah, I like this one. Or so we'd talk about if it might be right, if it could be better. If people are struggling to find one, I'd reassure them that they don't have to. It's optional. It's completely optional. So don't make it a chore. It's, you know, it's supposed to be a bit of fun and easy. It's not supposed to be a hard lesson of, oh, I've got to get these words right and do my homework and everything. What else would I say? Oh, yes. If they're struggling with words, I would ask them how they would want to feel afterwards. You know, after it's whatever it is, if you'd lost the pain, how would you feel? If you'd lost the weight, how would you feel? You know, whatever it was without it, how would you feel? Could we do that? I talk about bridging it, you know, with allowing and comfortable with. Choose, I think, is another word sometimes. I choose to be healthy.
Mm.
Somebody came up with that, and I thought, yeah, I think that I choose to be healthy rather than I am healthy is not perhaps believable, but choose to. They would choose health or something. So that could be another one. You're not usually on your own with this, because they're usually engaged. So you will have questions. You don't have to sort of present it and know exactly what you're saying. It will become a dialogue, which is a lot easier than just sitting telling about it. But yeah, I'd ask them if sometimes you can just take a word. If you're not sure of the word, you could just do I am at peace and take that comfortable word, or, you know, whatever it is, into the state, and it might form itself. You could just sit, not in an autogenic state, but just sit with how would I feel? How do I want to feel? And see what comes up. So it sort of comes from you. That's another way you can generate the phrase. I'm sure I've missed loads of things out, Jane.
Oh, no, I don't think so. I think I've been hearing myself speak there. So brilliant. I've got one or two add-ons, if that's all right. But and when you said, what about affirmations and has everybody heard of them? And then, of course, you know, that leads me very often into a bit of a beef of my own, which is, of course, there are loads of books on positive affirmations, loads of books. And then we go into positive thinking, and there are loads of books you can get on the bus and on the train, and people are reading about positive things and sticking things on the fridge and all the rest of it. And I say, do you know, I hate all that. And
yeah.
Because it's, well, if it's in a book, somebody else has written it. And positive thinking has become at times dangerous. Not because there's anything wrong with positive thinking, but if we're talking to somebody about a genuine fear and anxiety or whatever it might be, and somebody else says, oh, no, no, don't think like that. You've got to think positive. You must think positive. Well, that's completely dismissing the person's real feelings. And the real way to positivity is actually, there is no such thing as positive and negative. If we are feeling sad, bad, afraid, frightened, angry, whatever else, then let's go into those feelings because we know what the offloading is. Let's go right into it. And when we come out the other side, then positive is there. But we've been through it. Mm. And there was the wise guy who said there's no way out of pain except to go through it, which was an interesting one. So I add that little speech into the openings of this. And people do, well, you're all nodding, and people do nod with the sort of recollection. And it doesn't mean I don't believe in positive thinking, but it means actually, if we're really whole and healthy in ourselves, there's no such thing. We're just dealing with what there is, and we're doing that to the best of our ability at that time. And whatever that is and how it feels is entirely personal to ourselves.
That taps into believing, doesn't it? You have to believe what you're saying, because if you don't feel it, if you're just saying, oh, I'm fine, everything's
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
It isn't. It's,
and because somebody wrote in a book that you must never be afraid, and this is how to counteract anxiety or fear, you know, I mean, it's all thought, isn't it? So it's, it doesn't make sense. So that's the bit I put in at the beginning. And your lovely description of the neutral state, absolutely right. That's a, it's a wonderful place to put it. I always call it the fertile soil to pop the seed in. So you've got your phrase as the seed. And then when you realise you're just coming out of that, oh, that's the place to plant the seed. And it is like planting a seed, actually. It needs to grow and to flourish. And you need it for 3 or 4 weeks before changing it or deciding it's not working. You need at least 3 or 4 weeks for it to embed. And if it's wrong, you'll soon forget it. We've said this before, haven't we? Yeah. And I often put when it's, when we are talking perhaps about a childlike brain, maybe about the positive, we've got to teach it. That's a cognitive thing. No and never and mustn't and shouldn't and can't. Those negative words are learned. So we need to go into that literal brain that doesn't understand what that is. And then we give it something positive to work on. And then I use a little analogy. I say, imagine that the mother and the child are going downhill and the child is starting to run. And the mother says, don't you fall over. What happens?
Flat.
They fall.
Exactly. Because they have not, in the speed of the moment, been able to compute, don't you? So they fall. It becomes, that becomes the result. However, if the mother says, you take care, mind how you go, those are positive statements that they can immediately relate to, and then they don't fall over. So simple examples, I think, are quite handy, just to sort of ram the point home. But otherwise, I'm absolutely in agreement. Yes, Bev.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask a question going back a little bit about what you were talking about, the timing, you know, try it out for 3 or 4 weeks to embed, to see if it's working. Just how would you kind of expand on that? If the client responds and says, well, how will I know if it's working, or if it isn't working, why not? Do you ever get those questions? And
yes. And my quick answer is, if you've forgotten it, it's probably the wrong formula. The brain is saying, oh, I can't bother with that. So it removes it from the realms of practice. And maybe it won't be about, oh, it's worked or not worked. It's much more likely to be about change. And so something else might have arrived that actually you want to work on instead of the old one. So yeah, that's a choice. Well, that's fine. It really, really doesn't matter whether something has worked or not worked, because we don't have that language in autogenics anyway, do we? We don't say, oh, I did the heaviness exercise, but it didn't work because I felt light. No, we're just doing it. So it is, and Donna was absolutely right at the start. This is your personalization of your AT. So it's not up to anybody else to be telling you if something has worked or not. It is personal.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got a story, if that's all right. Are we all right? It was a training session like this, except we were in a room rather than on Zoom. And there were, what, 8 students or something like that. And my colleague at the time was, we were introducing these personal formulae and teaching of them. And she said, actually, I'd love some real help with finding something. I've got an issue in my life. Could you all help me? And so we said, oh, well, yes, that's fine. Let's see what happens. So the problem, the issue for her was that she felt she didn't have enough play in her life. So we went round the room and each person made a suggestion of a formula she might use. You know, I love play in my life, or I don't know, I can't even remember. I can't even think of an example now. But using the word play, certainly. And then, and I have time for play, and play makes me smile. There were all sorts of examples. She would say, yes, well, thank you. Yes, these are very nice. Okay, now I was last going around the room. And I said, how will you feel when you have more play in your life? What will it be like? And the spread of the grin was astonishing. It went from ear to ear. And she said, it's easy. I am easy. That's my phrase. I am easy. She had no idea where that came from or exactly what it meant, but it was the size of the smile on her face that made us realise that she'd found what it was that she was looking for. It was a lovely moment, actually. And of course, that's a very good lesson. And of course, the students were doing their best, you know, with making it positive and making it meaningful and all the rest of it. And I was watching this as it was going round. And I said, so what will it feel like? And then, oh, yes, Bev.
That's really, really interesting to hear that, because it's just reiterating to me how personal the personal formula is. Because growing up in school, from my age group, if you said I am easy, it meant that you were sexually easy. So, you know, for me to say that, my brain's going to, like, you know,
yes,
you know, who knows where that one's going to take me. I'm not sure my husband would be impressed. But yeah, but for this lady, that was the right one.
That was the right one. Absolutely. Oh, yes, of course. Yes, we couldn't possibly. My goodness me. I'm just thinking of all the sort of gender stuff that's going on these days and what we can and we're not allowed to say and think and be. It's absolute nonsense. So, yes, let us keep hold of that, Bev. You're absolutely right. We can say whatever we like because it means what it means to us. That's the main thrust of it. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just laughing. I said to my partner once, he's like, what do you want to eat? I went, oh, I don't know, I'm easy. And he just looked at me and went, no, you're not.
And we have a similar age, Donna.
Yes, we must be. I just said to him, well, aren't you lucky then?
And of course, actually, there's something else that's occurring to me, because this person actually isn't English. So yeah. We've got language in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and that, of course, comes back to other things, that when we've got someone for whom English is not their first language, they should be doing their exercises in their mother tongue. And of course, this would be even more pertinent with the personal formula, I would think. And probably that's where they came from with them. I have no idea. We will see. Yeah.
Interesting.
And, of course, the word easy. Who knows what that really is in her language? Mm-hmm. So there we go.
Don't know what kind of play she wanted.
Well, you see, here we are in the realms of speculation, which is none of our business. This is where we stand right back.
Stop recording now. Poor Sebastian, I'm sorry for steering the conversation this way.
Well, Sebastian, if you're not sure what the word easy means in the context in which we are laughing, then ask one of us. Okay.
Too funny.
Right. Have we got a sort of feel for it now?
Yes, thank you.
Good.
Right,
good.
Thank you.
Because yet again, there's a whole sheaf of papers and it makes you think you've got to get it right. No, no, no. We follow the client as usual. Yeah. Yeah.
No, it's been very good. Thank you.
Okay. Lovely. Right. So we're coming back at 1:30, I think.
Yep.